It's time for Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3. Brought to you by the Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org. Now here are the hosts of Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates, Anna Maria and Brian Clement.
This is Health, Happiness, and Healing with Anna Maria.
And Brian Clement, Hippocrates Wellness. It's lovely to be back again with you. We've spent the last week just enhancing our joy and love and happiness and meeting more people, new acquaintances, and who have stretched our imagination. And we're going to do that again today with you. So when I was a young guy, I heard about savants and psychics, and I immediately closed down. I thought this is something that was entertainment I would hear on the radio or see on TV. And then I had an experience that was unique. In Boston, where I was residing at that point, I was taking a friend of mine to the airport. She was heading to the Pacific Northwest. And on the way, we stopped to see a savant. And when I went up, I knew about him because people had claimed he helped them fight disease and know things that they wouldn't know otherwise. And I was still a skeptic. And within a matter of a second, he told this woman, "You're getting on a plane," named the company, named where she was going, the state of Oregon, and who she was going to see. And it just blew my world up because I thought that she had called ahead and given the information. It was so detailed. And I started to recognize I had a blockage about something I didn't know. And I had an opinion on something I knew nothing about, which a lot of people tend to do. If you listen to talking heads on TV, that's a perfect example. We actually listen to people who don't have an opinion on anything they know anything about.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like weird. So I tried not to. Starting way back in my 50s, I started to say, I don't want to do that anymore. And I started to recognize that some people are burdened. We think this is a gift, and it is a gift, and it helps a lot of people. But when you're young and confused, we work with a fella, occasionally comes to Hippocrates, that is the most well-researched savant or psychic on the planet. And University of Virginia, you know, Duke University, and the list goes on. And the guy's blowing machines up with focused thought. And he told me what a curse it was as a child, that he thought it was, you know, something that was horrible, that he would see things and hear things and know things. Nobody else did, and he would hide it because he didn't want to be the weird guy. But can you imagine if you can channel it? Well, today we're going to talk about that. We're going to have a two-part series on channeling that. And how most of these people got to where they are is they fought something within themselves and won the battle. And today we have Sean Bean on, who's noted for this. Sean, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine today. And yourself?
Very well. So tell us how and when you started to realize you had insight maybe others didn't have.
It really began at a younger age when I thought I was different, but now we know I would prefer to describe myself as rather being unique in that scenario, because I was always looked at differently because I was always doing my own thing. I kept to myself. We now know that as being weird. We identified that as back then as being shy, mm-hmm. but now we know that it's a form of basically social anxiety. I also began having a speech impediment and did not start speaking until the age of 4 years old. I had to go through specific speech pathology. I actually ended up, and when I was younger, going to a special school called Child Development mm-hmm. because I had a learning disability mm-hmm. of reading. But when all the other kids couldn't count to 10, the teacher had to tell me to shut up after I got to 200. But the unique thing was is that, having Asperger's, you're usually not labeled as athletic. And I was the black sheep of that. That's what made it so unique and difficult to finally pinpoint. The final diagnosis came almost three decades later.
Wow.
But I had all the telltale signs of shyness, but I had the photographic memory. I never took books to to classes. I always finished my tests first, had my head down, and even got to the point that teachers thought I was cheating on tests because I was getting high levels and falling asleep in class.
Oh.
And, you know, during, as high school went on, it's like I got bored with the classes. I'd fall asleep in class. The teacher would poke me, said, Sean, can you answer this answer? I'm like, yeah, I'd answer the question, went back to sleep.
You were a phenomenon to them.
Yeah, and the interesting part was, is I was at a lower grade science class, and the teacher's like, you got to do something to challenge yourself. So she moved me up to the AP class, which was the highest level there was, and I was outscoring a lot of the valedictorian upper classes in science. And that's when I knew I had something unique going on. The weirdest thing was, is having that ability as testing progressed and as the condition progressed, it made it very difficult and challenging to take tests. So back then, it's like you get 700 for putting your name on the SAT scores, and I was scoring 740. Mm-hmm. And then once I wasn't given that time allotted, because my brain was overcomplicating things, and once I learned through the SAT courses on how to look at the different levels, you were overthinking, overanalyzing, and getting into analysis paralysis.
Let me ask a question before I forget it. Mm. You know, the co-founder of Hippocrates is exactly what you're talking about. And his brilliance and his kindness and his compassion and his intellect, I'm always in awe of him. He's like saintly as far as I'm concerned. But what do you describe to me and all the listeners all over the planet what it's like to live in a brain that's overproductive, overacute, overanalytical? What's it like, and why do you think that happens?
It takes a while to get used to it. But then you learn through meditation, relaxation, prayer, you learn to, you know, get into the zone and disengage into the zone. Mm-hmm. And being Asperger's, you always have to challenge yourself intellectually. Like, you know, going to art museums, I'm bored out of my gourd and fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to have that intellectual stimulation. The other downside is it's very selective on what you are interested in. So people could be interested in, like, philosophy and get really excited about it. But then on the other hand, if it's, like, sports, they're like, ah, this is boring.
Exactly.
And in this type of Asperger's mind, it's usually like an all-or-none type thing. Mm-hmm. And often it's misunderstood as being selective, you know, oh, he's boring or whatever. But it's just that we have pertaining interests, and once we have those interests, we go 110% into those interests and nothing else could bother us. And we get into these zones. I remember doing consults and stuff. And, you know, once you get into the zone, it's like, you don't want to be disturbed by the cats or, you know, somebody knocking at the door, and you get really agitated because every time you do a consult or something, you're learning something new or putting new pieces of the puzzle together. There's never this stagnant, frame of mind. You're always trying to take things to the next level. And with my research and the wonderful people that I'm surrounded by, we take things to the next level. We're always pushing the envelope to, you know, not setting normal standards, but setting the higher standards. And I'm involved in a lot of projects and stuff now that are on the cutting edge of revolutionizing a lot of the challenges in health that we deal with. Mm. You know, it's like my eyes got locked into the vitamin D.
Yeah.
And we know how important vitamin D is, but it doesn't matter the serum that you have, it's the receptor sites that it's the receptor and the binding capacity that's the binding protein that's most important. And one of the people I admire, his name was Dr. Bradstreet, who is no longer with us today. I've actually took on the gauntlet in just not him, but many of the others who have passed us. And I've taken their research and have taken it to the next level. And I keep a lot of these things to myself due to the nature, because if it gets published out there and stuff, it's like you come prime target. But with the information they provided, it allowed me to be, you know, to take their research even a step further. It's like, how can we enhance that VDR receptor so we can turn on those macrophages to reduce cancer?
Yes, white blood cell.
Yeah, exactly.
Sean, can I take you back to childhood? How did your parents deal with this? Did they have anything like this themselves?
No, I was from an adoptive family, so back then it was called close adoption. The interesting thing was is we now know how devastating mold can be, and I actually lived in a house that was covered with mold from head to toe.
Yes.
Because back then, you know, when the sump pump broke, we had 6 inches of water that you had to trudge through, and I had to, you know, I worked out downstairs on top of wooden platforms, on top of carpet.
So we trudged
water. Then while we were down working down there, during the wintertime, we had a gas heater right next door to us.
It's
funny, Sean, because I just flash back. I completely forgot for, I guess, 70 years that we had sun pumps, and twice, three, four times a year, the basement would flood. So obviously we're filled with mold. Well, it's so amazing that you articulate it in a way that I and I'm sure others understood, that you become so focused, so acutely focused on something, you become like AI. And that vitamin D, which is, I'd like to talk to you for 5 hours about that alone, it's a molecule. And by the way, it's only now in the last 10 years been studied in any serious way. And I can tell you, molecules are going to let us live 120, 150, 200 years soon. When we come back, we're going to tell all of you how to do that. And Sean's going to explain how he's been able to help people evolve and become themselves. We'll be right back.
Well your world and transform your life. Hippocrates Wellness has been healing people, reversing chronic disease, and boosting immunity and longevity for over 70 years. Located in West Palm Beach on 60 lush tropical acres, Hippocrates Wellness has a program for you. Call them at 561-471-8876. Reserve a consultation and tour today. Visit their website at HippocratesInst.org. Call 561-471-8876. Now back to health, happiness, and healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org. Now here are the hosts of Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates, Anna Maria and Brian Clement.
This is Health, Happiness, and Healing with Anna Maria.
And Brian Clement, Hippocrates Wellness.
And we're here with Sean Bean. And Sean, how have you been able to help other people to evolve?
I've been able to help other people evolve by empowering them to better understand exactly what's going in them. One of the common errors that I see in all medicines, integrative and traditional, is the lack of empowerment and education in many situations. Because when I work with my clients, I always want them to understand things and not talk over their heads.
Right.
Because it's an educational experience. And I will use analogies that they understand. You know, it's amazing that you can explain to a client neuroendocrinology and they get it by using analogies.
Exactly.
But when you try to explain it to a medical doctor, they look like you get two heads.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's some that understand that, you know, but it's like when you're trying to explain vitamin D receptor, you know, binding capacity, and, you know, but you can get it to a 6-year-old because, you know, unfortunately modern medicine has trained doctors to think a certain way.
Yeah. Abstract.
And abstract, yes. Exactly. And with a 6-year-old, they're not tainted by that approach.
No.
And they can, you know, reason, and they're like, yeah, that makes sense, you know. And one of the ways I do this is through research and providing, you know, educational links, or be like, hey, you know what? This is nitric oxide deficiency. Well, what's nitric oxide deficiency? I'm like, well, it's one of the things that COVID produces. Well, I heard was nitric oxide was bad for you. I said, you have to understand. You have to understand there's two forms, and nitric oxide can be coupled or uncoupled. when it uncouples and converts into, you know, when it converts into superoxide and peroxide nitrates, it becomes an oxidant. Yeah. But when it stays in its coupled form, it's an antioxidant, and it helps with microcirculation around the body. Well, I'm taking hormones and stuff. I say, yeah, but your nitric oxide, they're not being carried to where they're supposed to be. Neither is your food. Oh, my God, that makes sense.
Yes.
And they're like, that makes sense because I'm eating all this food, yeah, but you're not feeding the mitochondria because it's not getting to where it's get to. Just because we are what we eat, that version has been changed to we are what we absorb.
Assimilate, yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, let me intervene there because what you said is absolutely correct. It was way back in 1954 where we realized that all death and all premature aging basically is oxidative stress, free radical damage. And
correct.
So, as you're pointing out, here's something that can actually create elasticity, flexibility, prolong life. And then what you have to know is if you don't have it enter into the cell and feed the mitochondria and help nutrients go in there, it becomes a poison. So it's like anything. It's like sugar. Every single cell in the body requires glucose. Once you have more than you need, and by the way, if you have two moderate-sized salads a day, that's all the sugar a 200-pound human being needs because you get sugar in lettuce. Then it starts to spill in the bloodstream, and the sugar that you need to fuel the cell literally becomes a poison. And the same thing with this. So keep going on. That was a great description you gave.
Yeah, because with nitric oxide is one of the most demonized secondary hormones in the body.
Yep.
And when I'm working with all kinds of cases, you know, we know what the DASH diet is.
Yep.
The DASH diet is extremely high nitrates. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? When you increase your nitrates, you increase the coupling of nitric oxide to where it becomes beneficial to the body, versus going to a superoxide and hydrogen peroxide right down the whole pathway. It's a superoxide dismutase. And I know I might be using big chemical words and stuff, and I know your listeners may not be scientists. So basically, what happens in this scenario is I always talk about it's like the crazy train. The nitric oxide gets derailed. And it gets derailed because of the fact that there's viruses that are changing your body's natural ability to keep it in its proper form. And that's why after the age of 40, if you people take arginine, it backfires on you. The mitochondria are the energy power plants of the body. Every disease that we know comes from mitochondrial dysfunction, and it's one of the major areas I focus on is the NAD, the NADH cycle, NADPH oxidase. And if you control NADPH oxidase, what you do is you control a whole mechanism by which the body can generate nitric oxide properly. Yeah. And when you generate nitric oxide properly, what happens is you can actually increase stem cell production.
Yeah.
So not only do you create stem cells, you can also increase telomeres too. And we know that telomeres are the signaling mechanisms for cellular aging.
Yeah, so that's one of the ways we can determine lifespan of people today. And that was the work of Blackburn with their colleagues out at University of California in San Francisco. And it's pretty much become a standard practice now. And so when we're talking about the citric acid cycle, that's what you are, that starts at the very top. How does one's body break down protein? How does one body break down carbohydrates and fats? And what's amazing, when we do analytical tests now, genetic tests on people, the methylation cycle is part of that. So what you said earlier is actually factual, that how you absorb or utilize or assimilate something really makes this mechanism work. And if we don't absorb and assimilate, and I estimate that 80 to 85% of the public does not. You may be eating healthy food, but not getting everything from it. Why? Because you've had long-term abuse of the body, long-term abuse of nutrition, long-term abuse of stress. You're in fight and flight constantly. The cortisol levels are wiping out your absorption ability. And then if you don't get that done, the absorption of proteins, fats, and carbohydrates, how the heck are you going to get energy? NAD was first talked about by a guy called Maillard way back in 1920. He was a French scientist. He basically said, hey, NAD is an incredibly important energy source for the mitochondria. They didn't know about mitochondria then. Energy source for the cell. Then what ended up happening is we started to recognize that when you have animal fat and sugar put together, it completely abolishes the ability for the cells, now we know mitochondria, to do what it should energetically. So what are your thoughts on that?
The idea of the NAD is one of the anti-aging secrets that I use personally, and I have a lot of my clients. But it's a double-edged sword, because if a lot of people start and they'll use NAD directly. When you're using NAD, there's different mechanisms by which it gets delivered. You can use injection, you can use NMN, NR. NMN, the precursor to NAD is niacin. So if you're having a tryptophan deficiency, you're going to have a niacin deficiency. Mm-hmm. And your body has the ability to make niacin through a mechanism through B6 pathway. And what happens is, if you're not taking enough B6, and this is really a advantage to the vegan diet, because having a higher protein diet for meat, you will chew up your B6 and cause a B6 deficiency. Yep. And a lot of times, when I look at the diagnostics, you see a lot of B6 deficiencies in a lot of carnivores and a lot of meat eaters. It's because of that B6 is needed to utilize and break down protein. And we see this a lot in like a lot of people that do the organic acid test, which is basically a summary of what's going on inside your cells. And it breaks down into the metabolic pathways and providing its cofactors. And we see just about everybody with B6 deficiency across the board.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, and when you have a B6 deficiency, needless to say, your brain goes south. Your memory, you lose your memory. Your neurological system, because it doesn't interact with neurons now your nervous system goes south. But well, next week when we come back, we're going to take a deep dive into cases. You know, you've obviously, as you mentioned, worked with person after person with a wide array of maladies, and probably some people that come to you who think they're healthy. And we're going to talk about when you can see these things in a clear way that maybe we don't see with a computer. And we don't see with conventional thinking, conventional education, and mainstream science today, what we can achieve. And maybe what you're talking about today, Sean Bean, is one of the future pillars of medicine, modern medicine. So until next week, we want all of you to be having an exceptional life, and it's up to you. If you whine and complain that it's not and you have problems, well, change it. And change yourself so much that next week your ears are going to be even wider open and your heart bigger than it is this week. Be well. Have a great week.
Well your world and transform your life. Hippocrates Wellness has been healing people, reversing chronic disease, and boosting immunity and longevity for over 70 years. Located in West Palm Beach on 60 lush tropical acres, Hippocrates Wellness has a program for you. Call them at 561-471-8876. Reserve a consultation and tour today. Visit their website at HippocratesInst.org. Call 561-471-8876. Thanks for listening to Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org.